The book of Ruth, chapter 2. We are in Ruth, chapter 2. And we begin our study today in verse 14. This is our second study in Ruth, and it's also the last. God had a very important reason for including this little book in His Bible, and we'll see that when we get to the end of it. Father, we ask that You would add Your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Picking up right where we left off, Ruth chapter 2, verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. So Boaz invites Ruth to lunch. So she sits down with him and his paid workers. And of course, I don't see any of the other poor folks who were gleaning in the field, eating with them, eating with the boss, as it were. But Boaz likes Ruth. That's what this is about. God is bringing them together. Verse 15. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her." Normally, the poor who would go into fields and glean took only the grain that had not been found in the bundles. That is, they would just take the stuff that was left behind in the fields. However, Boaz says, "Let Ruth take some of the grain that's right up front by you guys who are doing the harvesting." 16. "Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." In other words, purposely drop some big piles of grain right in front of Ruth. And so Boaz is saying, make it easy on her, but don't let her know that it's being done on purpose. When you love someone, it is enough to do nice things for them, even if they never find out it was you who did it. 17. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. And that was enough grain to last Ruth and Naomi for about 5 days. 18. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. And so Ruth brings what she picked and the leftovers from her lunch with the boss, and she gave it all to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And we see that Ruth is taking care of her mother-in-law. 19. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." When Naomi saw all the grain that her daughter-in-law Ruth had, she said, "Someone has been good to you today. Who was it?" Ruth then tells her about the man Boaz. And at this point, Ruth doesn't know that Boaz is Naomi's relative, a possible kinsman redeemer for Ruth, to marry her in place of her dead husband and raise up a child on his behalf. She doesn't even know it. Naomi does, but Ruth doesn't. 20. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "The Lord has not stopped showing His kindness to the living and the dead." She added that this man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. So you can tell something just clicked in Naomi's mind. And for the first time in a long time, there's a glimmer of hope in that woman. She's thinking, and it's not so much about herself, she's thinking, "My daughter-in-law may have a future after all. He's a redeemer." 21. Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Verse 22. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest was finished, or were finished. Then she lived with her mother-in-law. And so all this harvesting took about 6 weeks. Every afternoon, Ruth would go into Boaz's field for 6 weeks about and pick grain. Every afternoon for 6 weeks, it is likely that Boaz and Ruth worked together, at least saw each other, maybe had lunch more often than not. But anyway, these two people, one thing is for sure, these two people who love God were starting to grow close to each other as well. Chapter 3, verse 1. One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for?" Ruth, remember, left her homeland to move to Israel where she could care for her widowed mother-in-law. Now her mother-in-law is working to make sure that Ruth is cared for. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And we see that right here. Verse 2, "Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor." Bethlehem had a public threshing floor. And Naomi knew that Boaz had it reserved for that evening, which means that he would be camping out next to his pile of grain in order to protect it. Verse 3, "Wash and perfume yourself, and put on your best clothes, then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking." And so she says to Ruth, "Get dressed up, get cleaned up, put on something that smells good, and then go down there and ask Boaz to marry you." That's what Naomi has in mind by what she says to Ruth, and I think Ruth understands that. Verse 4, "When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." Naomi and everyone else knew Boaz was a man of God. That's why Ruth was told, "Do whatever Boaz says." Now, you wouldn't want to say that to a young lady, "Do whatever this fellow says," if he wasn't a godly man. "But he will tell you what to do," she says. See, a person who has a solid walk with God will be solid, and they'll make solid decisions and give solid counsel, and you can depend on them and you can trust them to do the right thing. Clearly, Boaz was a great man of God. 5, "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. And so Ruth trusted and respected her mother-in-law. She trusted her enough to know that she would never steer her wrong. Godly people are usually trusted by others. Verse 6, "So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do." Excuse me. Ruth had a legal right, actually, to claim Boaz as a kinsman redeemer. And her actions here were part of the process. And it may seem questionable to us, but what she is doing was really considered to be pretty proper. It was considered to be proper back in those days. Verse 7. "When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down." So it says Boaz finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits. That doesn't mean that Boaz got drunk, you know, and passed out. He ate and he drank all that he wanted. He was feeling good. So he laid down, and he covered up, and he fell asleep. And then Ruth comes along and lays down by his feet. And she yanks the blanket, which means that Boaz probably just felt a sudden chill, whether he realized it or not. Verse 8. "In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned to discover the woman lying at his feet." Well, at midnight, Boaz suddenly wakes up. He is startled. He woke up and he jumped when he saw someone laying down by his feet. Verse 9, "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant, Ruth," she said. spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." Boaz understood Ruth's symbolism here. He understood Ruth was saying, "You're my relative. You are able to take care of me. Will you do it?" She is saying, "Redeem my dead husband's property, marry me, and raise up a child in his name according to the law of Moses, if you will." 10. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." Boaz was a pretty special guy because of his godliness, but you never would have convinced him of that. And that's because the closer a guy gets to God, the more any sin in his life is magnified in his own mind. So he didn't figure that he deserved a woman like Ruth, and she actually didn't figure she deserved a guy like Boaz. 11. "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." Ruth could have ignored all that redeemer stuff. She could have married into a new family, started a new life. But her concern for Naomi, her respect for her dead husband, and her desire to do what is right before God caused her to choose Boaz. Plus, he was a godly man, and she was a godly woman, so they were drawn to each other. God is bringing this whole thing together. 12. "Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. And it sounds to me like Boaz has been thinking about marrying Ruth for some time. He has at least thought about it long enough to realize that there is a potential roadblock to this marriage. There's another guy who's even a closer relative." 13. "Stay here," Boaz says, "for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, I vow that, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." And so, the person who was the closest relative actually got the first shot at marrying a widow and raising up a child. Now, these two, Boaz and Ruth, they love each other, and they want to be married. But now there is a third party that is holding the key to their future. It's kind of out of their hands. In a situation where you have no control over your future, it sure is good to have a personal relationship with God, because then you can put your trust in Him. You can trust that He will do the right thing. 14. "So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, 'Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor.'" Boaz says, "It's probably a good idea if you leave here before morning. Nothing sinful happened, but that doesn't matter to some people. Some people do not get the facts straight before they start to gossip, and being a man and woman of God, they didn't want any gossip. 15. "He also said, 'Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out.' When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, 'How did it go, my daughter?' Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, 'He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, "Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed."'" And here you see that Boaz cared about the woman he loved, and also her family, her mother-in-law, and his potential mother-in-law. You know, that's kind of an important thing, because like it or not, marriage is a package deal. And each individual couple is an individual family, but boy, there's always the in-law thing that should be considered. Verse 18. "Then Naomi said, 'Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today.'" Ruth's part was to request redemption from Boaz. His part is to take care of the details. And it's the same with us, and it's the same with Christ. Same thing. Remember, Boaz is a redeemer. And he is a picture of our redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it works the same way with us. We ask to be forgiven. Jesus takes care of the details. Once we ask, he does not rest until the job is done. Chapter 4, verse 1. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. It says, when the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. One way or another, this issue is going to be settled. Ruth and Boaz will either be married or not. Verse 2. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. The elders of the town, they were the city officials. They were the city judges. The gate was a place sort of like a courthouse. So this kinsman redeemer stuff, this all has to be official. Because it's more than just a personal matter. It's a national matter. Verse 3. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech." And so the first step for a poor person like Naomi was to sell her property. And if her fortunes did not change, she would then have to sell herself into slavery. Verse 4. "I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it," he said. You know, it probably was not easy at all for Boaz to say, "Well, I came to suggest that you redeem it," because he wanted Ruth. You know, it wasn't easy. But he gave this man the first choice because it was the right way to do it. Boaz and Ruth loved each other, but they loved God more. And what a great spiritual leader Boaz is here. And so as a result, they decide to play by the rules and just trust God. Verse 5. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead man, or of the dead, with his property." And so, this near relative said yes to buying Naomi's land and restoring it to her, but now he's told that if he redeems the land, he also has to marry Ruth and raise up an offspring in the name of her dead husband. Verse 6, "At this the kinsman redeemer said, 'Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it.'" He would take the money out of the bank to buy Naomi's land, but he's not willing to marry a widow, buy the land, and donate it to her and her future heir. See, the price just got too high for this near relative. You know why it got too high? Because he didn't love Ruth the way Boaz loves Ruth. When a person loves, the price is never too high. The Bible says, love endures all things. Verse 7. "Now in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, 'Buy it yourself,' and he removed his sandal. In those days, if you wanted to transfer the right of purchase from you to someone else, you would have to remove your sandal and give it to that person in order to make it official." Verse 9. "Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, 'Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon.'" Boaz has restored the land that belonged to Naomi, and he has taken over the reins of that household. 10. "I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today, you are witnesses. In verse 11 it says, Then the elders and all those at the gate said, We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And so the elders, you can tell that they are just genuinely happy for Boaz. And they respond by praying that he's going to have that he would have a great life with his new family. They are happy because he is happy. The Bible says that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. 12. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. And so they pray that God will give Boaz many important children. Or if they could have only lived to see how they hit the bullseye with that prayer. Because from the line of Boaz came King David, and later on, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The things we pray for today may not be answered until after we die. See, with some things, we don't see the answer until eternity. 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And the Lord enabled her to conceive. She gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. So God gave Naomi what she longed for. When a person lives for God, the Lord always manages to find a way of working things out. It isn't always what we want exactly. Somehow or another, He works through people or events to get us what we really need. 15. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. So Naomi waited a long time for a grandson and probably thought it was an impossible hope, but it happened. I'll bet you, though, she never took her grandson for granted. When we are forced to live without something, we sure do value it when we finally have it. 17. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. They let the neighbors named the baby. Ruth and Boaz, you can tell, were admired in the community. Everybody was excited about the good turn of events for this family. 18. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David, their son. Now get this. The son of Boaz and Ruth is David's grandfather. So, Ruth, the Moabitess, Boaz, and their son, and his offspring, are all in the Messianic line. So now you see why this little 4 chapter book was included in the Word of God by God. And you also see why it was so important for Ruth and Boaz to get together and why God went through the trouble to make it all happen. See? It all happened to keep the Messianic line going. And that's what the Old Testament is all about. The Messianic line from Adam all the way down to Jesus in the book of Matthew. You can trace it. It's like a thread that holds all the books together. Next time, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Until then, so long, everyone.